Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. I'm going to preach the same sermon I preached last Sunday. Last week I preached on Noah and how that he must have been discouraged before and while he was on the ark. Today I want to follow up on that story. We kind of left him on the ark with surrounded by water as far as the eye could see. I felt kind of bad about that. Wanted to get him off of there today. So Shara asked me yesterday what I was going to preach on, and I told her, and I call this after discouragement. She called it Noah the sequel, so you can decide which one you like best. If we are faithful and obedient to God, discouragement doesn't last forever. I want to get to what happened to Noah after he was discouraged, but before we can get to the after, I want to mention a couple of things that happened during his discouragement. And I will start with Genesis chapter 8, just verse 1, just the first four words of verse 1 of Genesis 8. The Bible says, "And God remembered Noah." I read those words. Aren't those wonderful words? And God, matter of fact, I want everybody to say that this morning out loud, but I want you to put your name in there instead of Noah, okay? Everybody together. "And God remembered Kevin." Now let that soak into your brain for a minute. God never forgets his people. He always remembers us. He always sees us. We may be discouraged. We may be stressed. We may be distressed. We may be hanging on to the knot that we've tied to the end of our rope. But God never forgets his people. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, God said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. He was with David when he faced Goliath. He was with the disciples when they were in the storm. And he is with you always. Wherever you are, whatever you face, God never forgets his people. And God is always with you. And he was with Noah. And God remembered Noah in his discouragement, and God sent Noah some encouragement. Now, I'm sure you remember he preached for 120 years before the flood, not one single convert. But I'm sure in that 120 years, God sent him some encouragement. Then it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, relentless, nonstop, and that would be discouraging to me. We've had a little rain, and I appreciate it, but if it did it for 40 days, I'd be discouraged. I'm sure in that 40 days, God sent Noah some encouragement. You know, sometimes God sends us encouragement and we don't pay attention to it. Sometimes in our self-pityness, we turn his encouragement into more discouragement. But I can prove to you that God sent Noah some encouragement while he was on the ark, because it's in the Bible. Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. The Bible says, "And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat." Now that just seems like almost an insignificant little verse, the ark rested. But can you imagine this? For months and months and months, the ark has been swaying and pitching with the water and the oceans and moving back and forth. And all of a sudden one day there's a loud noise and the ark is still. No more movement, no more rise and fall with the waves, no more pitching and rolling. The ark is still. Now, I got to tell you, I think that was encouraging. They realized, oh, listen, the ark has landed on something. The water must be going down. I think that was encouraging to Noah and to his family. Then Genesis chapter 8, verse 5 says, "And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen." Boy, can you imagine that moment? Months and months and months. Every day, I think Noah got up and went up and opened the window of the ark. There was a window up there on the top, and I think he looked out, and every day, as far as he could see, water. And then one morning, he got up and he opened the window, he looked out, and he could see the tops of the mountains. Don't you know he was excited? Man, I'd have been excited. I bet he called his wife, "Get up, honey, come up here." Called his sons and his daughters-in-laws, and they all went up there. Now, they all took a turn looking out the window, and man, I bet they were excited. Finally, something besides water. They could see the tops of the mountains. Verse 13 says that the face of the ground was dry. Verse 14 says that the earth was dried. All those were encouraging signs. Don't you know every day after they saw the top of that mountain, they'd go up and they'd look and they'd try to gauge, you know, how far the water had gone down that day. And they knew the time was getting closer when they were going to step out on dry ground. They were finally going to get off that ark. I think all of that was encouraging to Noah. Now, it could have been discouraging. When they landed on top of that mountain, they could have thought, oh, great, we're stuck someplace. How are we ever going to get home, right? That's what we do, isn't it? When we're in the midst of discouragement and something happens that should encourage it, we twist it and turn it around where it's not too encouraging. I think God intended all these things to be encouragement to His people because God remembered Noah. God never forgets His people. I told you last week that I had been battling discouragement for the several weeks, and I looked back on that this week on that time, and I realized that during that time God was trying to encourage me and I wouldn't let Him. This past week, after the service last Sunday, several of you, spoke words of encouragement to me, and I appreciated that. God used to encourage me. Even got a couple of cards in the mail this week of encouragement, and I appreciated that. God used you to encourage me. Monday afternoon, I was down here at the church, and the door opened. And I can't see when people come in from my office, so when I hear the door, I get up to look. And a very old and dear friend was walking down the hallway. He lives in another state, and he was on his way to Randall University. And Blackwell is not on the way from his house to Randall, but he came this way this time. He had come other times before and gone the better way, but this time he came through Blackwell because he wanted to stop and visit with me. God used him to encourage me. See, God never forgets His people. God always remembers. We forget that in the midst of our discouragement. We forget that. But God always remembers His people. So I want to talk about what happened to Noah after his discouragement. Remember discouragement? If you're faithful and obedient to God, discouragement doesn't last forever. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you become unfaithful, if you become disobedient, you're going to wallow in that mire for a long, long time. But if you're faithful and obedient, discouragement will pass. And that's what happened to Noah. Let's look at Genesis chapter 8. I'm going to read the verses, starting verse 13 through the end of the chapter. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 720th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Wouldn't it have been uncomfortable to be on that ark, what was it, a year and 10 months with all those creepy, crawly things? That they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. The first thing I want us to notice is that because Noah remained faithful, that after his discouragement came rejoicing. Look again at Genesis 8, 18 and 19. Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. It had been 1 year and 10 days since they had gone into the ark, since God closed the door of the ark. 1 year and 10 days. Don't you know that when they opened that door, or when God opened the door, and when they stepped out, don't you know that they rejoiced? I think they, after they got their land legs, I think they probably ran around and jumped up and down and danced and shouted and laughed. I think they had a big time because it was over. They were alive. The earth was dry. The animals were out on their own. They didn't have to take care of them and feed them and clean up after them. And everything was done, and they were on dry ground. I think they rejoiced. After discouragement comes rejoicing. Discouragement is temporary. I know in the midst of it, it's hard to think of that. It's hard to believe that. It's hard to know that, but it's the truth. Discouragement is temporary. Pain is temporary. Problems are temporary. Chapter 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." When joy comes, there is great rejoicing. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul was addressing Timothy and giving him some instructions in this book. And when he comes to the end of 2 Timothy, Paul's kind of looking forward to the end of his life. And I want you to pay close attention to what Paul said. He said, verses 7 through 8, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Because Paul had been faithful, there was a prize, a crown. He said, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. And it's not just a crown of righteousness, but God himself is going to present me with that crown. Amen. Paul had been through some suffering. Paul had had some discouragement, don't you know? There was even one time in his letters he talked about the weight and the burden of the persecution and the burden, the care of the churches, he called it, that was on his shoulders. There were times of discouragement. People left him. People betrayed him. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. He was left for dead. You know all the stories. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a snake. All the things that happened. He had to have been discouraged part of the time. But he said, listen, I've finished. I kept the faith. And listen, joy is coming. There's a crown that God himself is going to give to me. That's what Paul said. But he also said that God had a crown of righteousness not just for Paul, but for all those who loved his appearing, all those who are faithful, all those who are obedient, all those who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior will receive a crown of righteousness. Amen. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I tell you, the joy after almost makes the discouragement worthwhile, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, if we didn't have the discouragement, if we didn't have the distress, we wouldn't know to experience the joy. So there's a blessing even from that. Because of Noah's faithfulness, he rejoiced. Because of Noah's faithfulness, others benefited and rejoiced. It wasn't just Noah who survived the flood. His wife and his sons and their wives all survived the flood. And you remember last week we talked about, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, not his wife and his sons and his daughters-in-law. Noah found grace. But because of his faithfulness, because of his obedience, they survived the flood as well. They benefited as well. And when they got off of that ark, they rejoiced just like Noah did. They benefited from his faithfulness. Christian, I want you to know something. This is another thing that we forget. Others benefit from our faithfulness. The entire nation of Israel benefited from Moses' faithfulness. The entire army of Israel benefited from David's faithfulness to God and his courage when he defeated Goliath. We could list on and on nations and organizations and people and things that benefit from the faithfulness of those in those organizations. Think of all the churches that were started and benefited from Paul's faithfulness. The gospel message was presented the known world over because of one guy, Paul's faithfulness. Think of all the people throughout all the other parts of the world who are Christians today because other Christians were faithful. Somebody, some Christians gave money, gave an offering to missions and sent a missionary. And that missionary was faithful to go and proclaim the message. And because somebody sent him and because he went, people got saved. It was the faithfulness of others that brought the message of salvation to the lost, and they were saved. And so others benefit from our faithfulness. Mom and Dad, I want you to know that your children benefit from your faithfulness. They may not know it yet, but they do. First of all, God blesses your family because of your faithfulness. But your example, Mom and Dad, your example of faithfulness and obedience to God will never leave your kids. Now, that's not a guarantee that they're going to grow up and serve the Lord, but it's a guarantee that they're never going to forget what they need to do. That's what the Bible says, train up in a child when he was old, or when he is young, and when he is old, he'll not forget, or something. I don't remember what it says. But your children benefit from your faithfulness. Your church benefits from your faithfulness. I want to tell you something. Now, I talked last week about how, when there's a lot of people gone, it's a little discouraging. I'm going to tell you something. When you're here, it's encouraging. See, I promise you, your faithfulness is encouraging to your pastor. And it's encouraging to your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you come, when you're faithful, when you're obedient, it's a blessing to others. Your faithfulness, Christians, will benefit your city, your state, and your nation. Do you remember when God told Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? One of the most unusual things, I think, in all the Bible happens in that story. It's later on here in Genesis. Abraham begins to negotiate with God. You remember the story. And Abraham said, now, God, you wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked, would you? And he started out, he said, God, if you can find 50 righteous people in the whole city of Sodom, wouldn't you spare the city? And God said, yes, I would. And he started decreasing the number, 45 and 40 and 35 and 30. Finally, he got down, if you read the story, Abraham got down to 10 people. God, if you can find 10 righteous people in Sodom, will you spare the city? And God said, if I can find 10, I will not destroy the city. The entire city, the entire population of Sodom would have been spared for the faithfulness of just 10 people. God couldn't find 10, so he destroyed the city. I sometimes wonder what would happen to the United States of America if God couldn't find 10 righteous people in the United States of America. Listen, the world may mock Christianity, and the world may mock Christians, and they may think that we're weird, and they may persecute, and they may say all those kind of things, and they may think we're conservative and narrow-minded. But I'm going to tell you something. The Christian community of the United States of America is protecting the United States of America. Amen. Whatever blessings this country has, it's because of the Christian community in this country. Your faithfulness benefits other people. Sometimes they don't even realize it. They don't even know it, but it's still the truth. Noah's wife and his sons and his daughters-in-law benefited from his faithfulness. And your family and your church and your city and your state and your nation and your world benefits from your faithfulness. And finally, because Noah remained faithful, his worship was received. I'm going to tell you, I think this might be the best part of the story. In verses 20 and 21 of chapter 8, the Bible says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the Lord, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Those words, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, mean that God received Noah's worship. Several years ago, there was a movement in the church universal, not in this church in particular, but in the church universal, there was a movement of it was just praise is all it was, but they put various names on it, but it was praise to God. And the emphasis, you'd go to a worship service in the churches where this was prevalent. You'd go to a worship service and the emphasis was on praise. Not faithfulness, not obedience, not the Word of God, praise. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everything that happened, praise the Lord. They forgot that God does not accept worship from disobedient and unfaithful people. There was a time in the Old Testament the nation of Israel was being disobedient to God, and yet they were bringing sacrifices to God. And God said, I'm not taking your sacrifices. They're a stench. But Noah offered a sacrifice, and because he had been faithful and obedient, God smelled a sweet savor. Listen, it wasn't just that Noah's worship was received, it was that Noah and God had communion. They had fellowship with each other. God blessed Noah. God communed with Noah. God rewarded Noah because he was faithful and obedient, even though he was discouraged. Christian, when we remain faithful, we get just a little taste of heaven, don't we? God, we can sense God's presence. We can sense God's pleasure with us because we're faithful, because we're obedient. We can hear His voice. People may think you're crazy, but we can hear God's voice. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. He communes with us. Is there anything better than being in the presence and the fellowship and communion with God Himself? After the discouragement, we remain faithful and obedient, and after the discouragement comes accepted worship of God. Nothing is better than that. I hope, Christian, that you will let God encourage you. I'm going to make another confession. This is two Sundays in a row. Next Sunday, I'm not planning on confessing anything, okay? I mentioned that my friend came. We had gone to, then it was Hillsdale together, graduated together. And he went on because he was a ministerial student when he was there. I wasn't, and so he's gone on and done some things. He was a missionary. Most of you know him. It was Steve Reeves who it was. Went to a missionary to Spain, and then he came here and pastored for a while. Then he went to Columbia, Missouri, and started a church there. He got in the state of Missouri. He was on some of the boards, and he was a state officer and all that. And he came here Monday because he was on his way to Randall University. He's on the board of trustees at Randall University. Now God sent him here to encourage me. I believe that with all my heart. God sent him here because God remembered me. And He sent him here to encourage me, and He did. But I'm going to make one little tiny confession that for about 15 minutes, I was a little put out. He's on the board at Randall University, and I'm not. See what we do? God sent a blessing. God sent encouragement. And in my orneriness and in my discouragement, I twisted what God had done. Let God encourage you. He stopped the ark to encourage Noah, not discourage him. He showed the mountaintops to encourage Noah, not to discourage him and think he couldn't reach those mountaintops. The water receded as encouragement. The ground dried as encouragement. Let God encourage you. He sends people to you to encourage you. Words are spoken to encourage you. Cards come to encourage you. God communes with you not to scold you, but to encourage you. Let Him do it. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning if we'll open our eyes and enjoy it. Would you stand with me this morning? Shara, just come and play a song. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. I truly feel sorry for people who are not Christians and get discouraged. You know, sinners get discouraged too. And I feel sorry for those folks because there's no one to send them encouragement. Wouldn't you, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, wouldn't you like to have God on your side? Wouldn't you like to have fellowship with Him and communion with Him? Wouldn't you like to have a personal relationship with God Almighty? Wouldn't you like to know that joy is coming in the morning? You can. God will forgive your sin if you'll confess. He'll forgive your sin and He'll give you joy and He'll give you peace right here and right now and all the good things of heaven to come. Christian, come on now. Let's let God do His work. Let's be part of God's work. Let's open the window and see the mountain and rejoice. You come, we'll share a place.